All right. Well, welcome. Glad you guys can be with us and we're together. I guess this underscores our need for evangelism. We're roping in some more folks, but we're making efforts in that direction, and I affirm everything that we're doing and feel good about it. So happy that we can be together. Thank you for coming and being part of it. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you so much that you are part of our lives and you're such a critically important part of our lives. I thank you that when we come to you, when we gather in your name, we sense your presence in ways that we just don't when we're alone. And so we welcome you here tonight. And I pray that we would become just vividly aware of your presence, of the Lord Jesus and Holy Spirit all together, smiling at us and with us and upon us. And we just welcome your presence. May your name be honored and glorified and lifted high as we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I thought I would do a children's story. Actually, tonight you might not hear anything new. The scripture I'm using is familiar, I think, to all of us. And I know I've preached from it before. I know it's been a long time since I preached from it before. And sometimes I think it's just okay or good or profitable to be reminded of some truths that are encouraging and helpful in our faith. And so that's my goal tonight, not to try to make any new proclamations, but just to affirm and reconfirm our faith and how God works in our lives. So for our children's story tonight, I want to talk to you a bit about treasures. Lydia, Renee, do you have treasures? Do you have things that are treasures to you that you just think are wonderful and you wouldn't want to be without?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I do too. And I have one with me that I think you've seen before, but I just love it so much. I like to show it off and I like to tell the story about how I got it and what it is. And it's this shell. Can you see it? I got this shell when I was living in Florida. And one day, my brother Jay and I, that's your great uncle, were scuba diving out in the Biscayne Bay, which is just before you get to the Atlantic Ocean. And it was a kind of sandy and grassy bottom of the ocean. And occasionally there were big sponges about the size of this or a little bigger. And we could see those. And we were swimming along looking for those sponges where we could find fish around them that we could spear the fish. And so I saw this in the distance. And when I saw it and it was in the water, it was all covered with kind of green grass, like kind of like mossy. And it looked to me like a sponge from where I was. And so I swam up toward it and I was looking for fish around it. And I looked at it and I thought, that's not a sponge. And I rolled it over on its side and I saw this. Now, when you just see this, it doesn't look so super fantastic or different or awesome. It's just kind of plain. But when you look at that, isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
It shines so much. It's like a, I don't know, it's like the mouth of something. And just gorgeous colors. And when I saw that, I said, I've got to take that home. And so I picked it up and took it to the boat and we put it in the boat and we took it home. There was an animal in it, like a snail or like a conch. And so we had to get that out. And then we cleaned it all up and made it look pretty. And I just love this shell so much. It's called an emperor's helmet. It looks kind of like a helmet, you know, that you could wear it on your head like that and be a helmet. And because it's so big, it's called an emperor's helmet. There's smaller ones too, but they're called different things. So I wanted to show you this treasure of mine and just say a few things about it. First, this treasure didn't do a thing to become my treasure. All it was doing was living its life sitting on the bottom of the ocean. And I happened to come along and see it, and I said, wow, I want that. And I picked it up, and I brought it home, and I've loved it ever since. And all of us have treasures. Some we paid money for, some were given to us, some maybe you made or found, like I did. But I want you to know that you are a treasure too. You are a treasure to God. God made you, and he said, this is just the way I want Lydia to be. This is just the way I want Renee to be. And I love them so much, not because of anything they do, but just because I love them, because I made them. And you are a special treasure to God, just the way you are. And I want you to always remember that. And if you ever start to think bad things about yourself, just remember, you are God's treasure. You are special and precious to him, and he loves you so very, very, very much. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that these girls are treasures to you. And not just the girls, but every one of us is your treasure. And I pray that we will see ourselves the way you see us, that we'll not let the world or people around us or experiences in life make us feel bad about ourselves or think that we're unimportant or not special. But because you make us special and you say we're special and you love us so much, we are very special. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for your attention tonight. If you want to follow along in your Bibles, I'm in Psalm 139. Probably can't get a lot more familiar than that. And I think with what's going on in the world right now and in our individual lives, some of us and different things, that it's just good to be reminded of who we are and how special we really are. Now, I don't know why nothing's coming up. There we go. Well, that was different. Oh, that's weird. Sorry, I'm talking about my Bible app. It wasn't coming up, and then it came up split screen. So I got it back now. So everything that's going on in the world with the politics and with COVID and the uncertainty that comes with that and what can become fear or anxiety or just uncertainty, I think we need to be reminded of who God is and who we are and who we are in his sight. And in that, find encouragement and find hope and find strength to continue regardless of the circumstances that we face at the moment. So here we go. We start with verse 1 on Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Now, the way he starts there, you've searched me, Lord, and you know me, that can either be encouraging and uplifting or a bit scary. Yeah, God, you searched me, you know me, you know everything about me. You know when I sit down, you know when I get up, you know what I'm thinking, you know, you're familiar with all my ways. That's my ways, that's my motivation. That's my manipulation, if I have any. That's how I think about people and how I react to certain situations. He just knows us completely. And it's like our souls are laid bare and there's nothing held back. If you're like me, and I think we all are similar in this, there are things I don't want you to know about me. There are things that have happened in my life that I've done in my life that I'm not proud of, that I'd rather just keep in the dark and in the secret. And I think we all have aspects of ourselves that we just assume God looked past or not know about. But this scripture is very, very clear. There are no secrets with God. He knows us inside out. He knows us backwards and forward. He knows us better than I know myself. And it's just all there. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You know what I'm about to say. And you don't get it wrong. I mean, that's kind of scary in a lot of respects. Then you go, you hem me in behind and before. And you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. So when he's talking about hemming us in behind and before, I don't see it as he's restricting our movement or he's putting us in a box, but rather I see it as his protection. As he surrounded me with his goodness, with his mercy, with his kindness, with his love, his gentleness, his generosity. And he protects me from the evil one. He protects me from my enemies, whoever they may be. And for King David, they were very physical enemies that he's going to talk about here after a bit. But in light of God knowing everything about us, all of our flaws, as well as our strengths and our positive thoughts towards him, our love for him and for others and the good deeds that we do. You know, it's not just the evil and the bad that he sees in those, but he sees the good as well. And I don't want to lose track of that. But with all of that, he still surrounds us with his goodness and with his protection. And he lays his hand on us. And that's, I believe that, I don't think that's a hand of correction that where he spanks us, although that's a form of laying hands on children for correction. But I think it's more the hand on the shoulder, the hand in the small of the back, the hand that caresses our cheek, the hand that shows compassion and love and encouragement and the confidence that I'm here, I'm with you. You know, you can feel God's presence as his hand is on us. And that's what I want us to see, is regardless of of having our very worst day, God still hems us in. He's still around us. He still has his hand on us, saying, I'm here. I'm here. I haven't left you. You can't chase me away. You can't scare me away. You can't be bad enough for me to have to leave you or not identify with you. I'm with you, and I'm for you, and I'm here. And I just want us to take encouragement with that. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too lofty for me to attain. You know, obviously David, or I say obviously, I think David is recognizing here his humanity and how far short of perfection that he falls so often, and saying, it's just absolutely incredibly amazing to me that God still is with me, that he still is protecting me, that he still identifies with me. No, when you see a man and woman walking down the street to get side by side, and they're holding hands, or they have their arm around each other, you know they're connected. You know there's a relationship there. And that's the picture I see of God having his hand on us. He's identifying with us, saying, this is mine. This is my child. This is the one I love. And this is the bride of my son that I'm well pleased with. David goes on, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. You know, we can't run from God. That's obvious. But we can't get in a pickle in life and say, God forsook me, God left me, God isn't here for me, because we can't go anywhere and not be in God's presence. And that, I think, should be hopeful. You know, regardless of what financial situation we might have to face with COVID or the political situation or anything else in life, when we get blindsided by life, there's no place, there's no event that can happen to us that's going to make God distance himself from us or make him say, where are you? You know, he said that to Adam, but he knew all along where they were. He was just wanting them to identify themselves and come out and have a relationship. But there's no place we can go that we're not going to be experiencing God's presence, his affirmation, his encouragement, his hope for us, his blessing. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. What an awesome paragraph. God created our inmost being, our mind, our will, our emotions, the whole core of us. Every aspect of us is God's workmanship. It's his creation. And it was fearfully and wonderfully made. There were no mistakes when he put us together, any one of us. You know, I think about my nose sometimes and think it was a mistake. I look at some other things about my body and think, couldn't you have given me something a little different, Lord? But But he knew what I needed. He knew what he wanted for me. He knew, you know, if he gave me a funny look, he knew that when he looked at me, he just wanted to smile and chuckle, you know, and that's okay, because that's part of worship. We're learning that laughter is part of worship, that joy is part of worship. And I'm trying to put a little bit of laughter into most every sermon now, since we learned that. And Mom's over here chuckling, so I was successful in some extent. But, you know, some of us feel better about how we look than others, and I respect that. But God doesn't make mistakes. God knew what we needed. He knew what he wanted. And shouldn't I want what he wants? Shouldn't I be happy with the gift he gave me? You know, I could go on about that, but that's enough. But the whole concept here of God's putting us together in the womb certainly speaks volumes about when life begins. And we know that we've used this as a text that shows us how we are pro-life from conception to the grave. And I believe it certainly supports that and tells us the awfulness of abortion and euthanasia and any of the human ways that we use to shorten life or to avoid life. And that's sad, that's tragic. And I think it breaks God's heart too, that we take life socially, that our society, that our world takes life so flippantly and devalues it so drastically. And that's tragic. But each of us knows that our lives began at conception and that God put us together and that he did a great job. And I think you've heard me say in the past that I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. All your works are wonderful. I know that full well. If God's works are wonderful and I'm part of God's work, then on my worst day, I'm wonderful. And so when somebody comes up to you and says, how are you? And you say, you're wonderful, then their ears should shoot up and say, oh, you're having a hard time, huh? Because ordinarily we're so much better than wonderful. Wonderful is just our baseline. And then life gets better from there. So anyway, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Wow. God has a plan for your life, and it's a plan to prosper you. It's a plan for your good and for your well-being. And it's his heart that we all experience salvation, which is part of that plan that he has for us. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. So David considers himself with God when he's sleeping and when he's awake. And he values God's thoughts, the way God sees things. You know, I think too often, whether it's us personally or the church around us, I don't like to talk about the church around us. I like to talk about us because we can control us. We read something in the scripture and we say, can that be true? Or, boy, I haven't found that work for me. But they're God's thoughts that are in the scripture. And how precious to me are your thoughts, God. How precious to me then should be God's word. How precious should be the scripture. And how vast is the sum of it. And, you know, it's just God's presence and God's being his word. Now, here we get into a section where David, you know, I struggle a little bit sometimes with David and his anger and his violence and only, but, you know, well, let's read it and then we can talk about it. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Pretty strong words about unbelievers. And I believe Jesus took a different approach to unbelievers than David does in this passage. Jesus said we're to love our enemies, to do good to those that do wrong to us. And I believe we need to love unbelievers into the kingdom. And so I struggle with some of that righteous indignation that I hear from David saying, I hate those that hate you, God. And yeah, there is a certain righteous indignation against people who are constantly using God's name in vain and living a life of rampant sin with no interest and no respect for God. But those are folks that I think we need to be praying for the salvation of. Those are folks that we need to say, help me see them as you do, Lord. Help me know how to help you make a difference in their lives. And let me be you to them in a way that draws them to you. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. David's prayer at the end needs to be my prayer, I believe, each day. God, know me inside and out. Show me anything that isn't of you. And then I want to walk in the way everlasting. I want to walk in righteousness and holiness, in relationship and closeness to you in every part of my being. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you treasure us. I thank you that you came up with the idea of life and humanity, and that in that idea of creation that you made, that is this earth and all the life in it, you thought of us, of each of us individually. And you saw how our personality that you gave us, our features that you gave us, all fit together to make the kaleidoscopic mosaic of life that pleases you, that honors you, and that accomplishes what you set out to accomplish when you created us. So, Father, I pray that you will open our spiritual eyes, that we will see as you see, and that we will welcome all of your presence and your knowledge of us. We'll live as open books before you, holy and righteous and purified by the blood of our Lord Jesus. So keep coming, Holy Spirit. Keep working on us until we are the exact representation of our Lord Jesus to the people around us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm. Do you have something to share? Do you have prayer concerns? Do you have testimonies? Do you have thoughts about the passage that we spoke about tonight or anything else?
I'm going to tell them about Jay.
Yeah. Granddad just asked me to tell you about Uncle Jay. You know, he had COVID, and so did Leanne. Well, I say Leanne did. She never tested positive for it, but that's because when she didn't test positive for the first test, they didn't give her a second test because she was living with Jay and he had it and she had the same symptoms. So she had it, whether she passed the test or not. But now he's over that and he no longer has the virus. In fact, he's got tests with antibodies that shows that he had it in the past. But he has some, what he termed long-term effects from COVID. He still has shortness of breath. Now, remember, he came down with this early in September. Yeah, it was in the middle of September when we went to, it's been like 5-6 weeks and 2 weeks and you're supposed to be over this thing. But he still has shortness of breath with a very minimal amount of exertion. He said his yard's about an acre and at the back of his yard, he has a compost pile. Today he walked out to that compost pile and back to the house twice and he was huffing and puffing when he got back. And he talks about having brain muddle. And I asked him what that meant. And he said, well, I'll have trouble coming up with words. There's a vice grip pliers that is a special kind of, it's a unique vice grip. And his neighbor had some for sale. And so he wanted to buy them. And he was telling a friend at work about them. And he could not remember the word vice grip when he was describing them. And this happens on other things too. He said that when he and Leanne will be sitting in their chairs in the living room and say they want to get up and do something. And after a while they'll get up and stand up and say, what are we getting up for? And he said his driving is somewhat erratic. He is driving some, but only his car. He's not back at work. He says that he'll swerve into the other lane at times and he's more jerky in his driving and he gets closer to other items than he should when he's driving. And so I asked him about long-term effects. What does that mean? And his doctor said it means he could have it for months. He didn't say how many months, but months is certainly better than years or lifetime. So he just has no idea how much longer this will hold on. And Leanne has apparently a similar situation. The doctor said that 10% of men and 15% of women have this experience after COVID. So it's not uncommon. So you can be praying for Jay and Leanne. I asked him if he was up to thinking about coming east to be here when we go to Ohio and Indiana after Granddad's birthday. But right now he's not ready to talk about that. I wanted to say praise the Lord for the bumper crop of sweet potatoes that Granddad had in his garden. And also praise the Lord for the wonderfully good helpers we had digging the sweet potatoes.
Amen for that.
We had three children that were here that just worked really hard and kept at it the whole time. And we're thankful for that. They did a great job.
They enjoyed it too.
We enjoyed having them. Sorry it was a school day, Lydia and Renee, but maybe you're happy that you didn't have to work so hard. And that's okay. We love you too. And you too, Eliza. You can continue to pray for Annette. She has kind of ongoing off again and on again health situation to deal with. And her finances are always tight and we can just remember her. Everybody else that's part of our church that's not here tonight, you know, that we know are struggling with different things. Oh, I'm thankful for the Share Food program. We certainly got a that a wonderful, encouraging word from a person, a recipient this last week, yesterday. And so thank you, Janelle and Carla, especially for your work at spearheading this and keeping it going. And all the volunteers that help. And Janelle and I are talking about getting ahead in a Just Getting By world started in January at our church. So barring an unforeseen setback with COVID or something else, we intend to start that January 6th. All right, if you guys want to take opportunity to pray, that's fine. And I'll close in a few minutes. Or when I think everybody's done.
Father, we just thank you for who you are and for blessing us with opportunities to share food and do things like that for the community. And I just pray that you'll help us to continue to find ways of reaching out and blessing others and doing your work. I just thank you for the opportunity to come up here and spend time with Joel and our family and just be able to support him in this tough time. And just pray that you'll just be with him and continue to bring strong men into his lives to be able to help him, and we'll just work through him as he navigates through this. And I just pray for all the opportunities we have in our church to reach out to those in the community, Lord, and just thank you for those that are here tonight and those that aren't able to make it, that you'll just bless them.
Father, I pray that you would give us a heart for the unsaved, for those that don't know you and face an eternity separated from you. I pray that we would be motivated by your spirit to be ambassadors of Christ in this world in which we live. I pray, Lord, for the political situation, and we pray that your vote will be the one that counts. And that you will raise to heights of leadership the administration that will bring glory to your name and that will accomplish your purpose for this nation and for the world. We just ask that your Holy Spirit will bring peace and order to a society that's full of disorder. And that your name will be honored and glorified in all of it. Father, continue to bless each of us with health, each of us here that's on this Zoom meeting, and each one who's part of our congregation, especially with health and with strength, with abundance, and with just a clear knowledge of your blessing and your intervention on our behalf in every aspect of our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, meet us and speak to us and draw us, I pray. In Jesus' awesome name, amen. Well, thanks for being part of this, and wish you a blessed night and week and a safe trip home, Heslop family.
Thanks. We're gonna leave
tomorrow morning.
Pretty early tomorrow morning.
Home tomorrow morning. Okay. Yeah. Very good. We'll drive safely.
Thank you.
Yep. You're welcome. Thanks, Jeff and Janelle, for being here. Lydia and Renee. Have a great week, everybody.
All right.
Okay, you too.
Thank you. Good night.